Hi, and welcome to Menstrual Cycle Mastery with me, your host, Lisa DeYoung. I'm an educator, coach, and group facilitator passionate about exploring the menstrual cycle and the experience of pain or suffering many of us have. Using a mind-body approach and the menstrual cycle mastery skills, I support individuals to reconnect with their cycle and find relief, and I train professionals who want to guide others in this work. Freedom from suffering is possible for you, and there's so much more waiting for you on the other side. Let's dive in. Hi folks, welcome back to the podcast. I'm so happy that you are here. I'm Lisa, menstrual cycle coach and founder of the Menstrual Coach Academy. If you're listening to this, don't forget we're also on YouTube, so you can head on over to our YouTube channel. The link is in the show notes. And if you're watching this on YouTube, do subscribe and leave a comment down below if you want to be in touch with us. So today I am going to talk about the impact that fear has on our body, and in particular, our nervous system and our menstrual cycle. And the reason I want to talk with you today about fear is because fear is something that I do a lot of coaching on in my work, in my client work, and in my professional work, working with professionals as well. And something that came up in recently with some clients was people who are feeling a lot of fear in relation to the menopause and all the messaging that is out there in the world about the menopause, and they are now carrying fear about what the menopause might be like, etc. And then I also, because I work with a lot of people who struggle with chronic pain, whether that's endometriosis or just chronic pain in relation to their menstrual cycle, or then maybe they have PMDD, a lot of those clients get a lot of fear and anticipation in advance of symptoms too. So fear is a huge topic in my work that we explore, we get curious about, we understand the psychology, we understand the biology of fear as well. And through working with me, I help you to build a new understanding and a new relationship with fear in your life so that it doesn't have to run the show and it has less of an impact on your health and your well-being and your symptoms and your menstrual cycle. So let's start off with the question, what is fear? So fear is when we've all experienced fear. It's probably a question that answers itself. But from a kind of psychological point of view, fear is a protective and a survival response. Okay, it's very important that we as humans have fear and that we experience fear and that we make decisions from fear or we have reactions from fear. And that it is part of our biology and our psychology and our sociology. Okay, so if you think about, maybe an example could be, if I'm driving a car and I see somebody doing something dangerous on the road, my heart might start to race, or I might get angry, or I might have judgmental thoughts, or I might suddenly swerve or make a decision. And it's usually because the fear button is pressed in me because I'm driving a car and I want to be safe and I want to survive on the road when I'm driving. Okay, so that would be a very typical example of when fear can show up. So what it does is it allows us to respond in such a way to keep us safe and alive. So fear is, it's not always a good thing, but it always has a purpose to it. There's always a reason for fear to be there. So we don't want to write fear off as a bad thing or dismiss fear or say that it's not necessary. It is. It's a very important part of our survival and our evolution as living beings. Okay. So we want to understand it from that perspective. What does fear do in the body and why? So let's talk about it now from a biological point of view. So in my work, I talk a lot about the nervous system, particularly a theory called the polyvagal theory. So we're looking at the nervous system in a lot more detail. And you might have heard of the fight-flight response, the rest and digest response, the freeze response. So when we have fear, very often what happens in our nervous system, our fight and flight response gets turned on. It gets amplified in our system, in our nervous system. Okay. And again, going back to what I just said, the reason for that is to allow energy to move towards the parts of our body that respond in the face of a threat or and in response to the fear that we're feeling. Okay, so that could be more energy to the legs and arms to run away or to fight the tiger or whatever it is that we're afraid of. So there's more energy going to our vital organs, and then that energy is being taken away from other parts of our body that we might not necessarily need in order to survive. So, for example, your digestion, the energy goes away from that part of the body towards the vital organs. And that's all very important and very good, and it's a very natural thing. And then we have hormones that get pumping, so adrenaline and cortisol, and these are stress hormones, and these help us to act quickly in the face of a danger or threat and our fear. And again, very important for our survival. Okay. So that's what's happening on a biological nervous system level, and then on a hormonal level to help fuel this fight or flight response system. The problem with fear in the long term, so remember I said that fear is a protective and a survival response, and it helps us in the face of danger or threat. But sometimes the danger or threat is no longer there, and our nervous system is still wired and still can be stuck in this fight or flight response in relation to a stimulus. Okay, so something that's coming from the outside, or even our internal world can also trigger fear as well. So the problem with this in the long term is that when we are in the fight or flight response and our system is in that fear response, but it's responding to rather like a non-realistic perceived threat or danger, then it's not really 100% like realistic, and it's not always completely necessary for us to be in that fear response. And that's where the problems come when our nervous system gets stuck in a perpetual, a constant fight or flight response, and we have a regular pump going of adrenaline and cortisol, the stress hormones. What's happening is our energy is being taken away from the rest and digest response and put into this sort of reactive response in our body. And from a kind of well-being point of view, what's happening then is those stress hormones create more inflammation in our body, more sensitivity to pain, and more stress. And when we have more stress, it's very difficult for our body to be able to relax and rest and restore and repair and heal itself. Okay. So our downtime doesn't become so restorative as it could be. Okay. So this is the problem in the long term. So when you think about it, fear is a good thing. It can help us, but then if it's not necessary, it's not a good thing, and it can really impact us. So what do we do then? That's when we need to take a look at the fear in our life and do some reflection on our fear, do some self-coaching, get some support, do some process work around our fear, and begin to start a journey of untangling ourselves from any unnecessary fear that we no longer need in our life and that is no longer serving us. Because when we are living in a soup of fear, we are not being present to peace that is available to us, and we're not being present to joy and connection, creativity, adventure, fun, relationships, and being in connection with yourself and the world around you. Okay, so the fear really can get in the way and block us from all of that. Okay, so we just want to do a little bit of work so that we can just untangle the unnecessary fear, clean it out of the system, say no to it, thank it for what it's done and how it's helped us, but no longer be a victim to all this unnecessary fear. Okay. So that's really important. So, a really good place to start with this, and this is what I did on my own journey, was when I learned all this, I said to myself, okay, I'm going to sit down with a piece of paper and a pen, and I'm going to write down all the things that are feeding fear-based thoughts for me in my daily life, in my head. So, I just got really honest, sat down at the kitchen counter, made a cup of tea, and just like brainstormed all of the things that I thought would trigger fear-based thoughts in my head. And in particular, I focused on the area of my menstrual cycle when I was doing a lot of process work around my relationship with my cycle and my nervous system. And that was a really eye-opening experience and very confronting, quite humbling. and shocking and a little bit disturbing, but in a good way, because it helped me to really look in the mirror at myself and see how fear was running the show more than I knew and more than I realized. And even though that was difficult for me, it was actually a good thing because it meant I had a whole list of things that I could work through. And that gave me a lot of hope because I understood the science and I understood that if I could work my way through some of these fears, I would be opening up a lot of energy for more peace and serenity in my life. So that would be the first step that I would encourage you to do, is make that list of fears and think outside the box too. Think about things that, you might just consider normal and you don't even think there's fear involved, but maybe there is. So, for example, for me, there were certain foods I was afraid of eating because I had this thought and this belief in my head that this particular food would cause me symptoms. And I had complete belief in that, and it was a truth for me. And so, whether these fears are valid or true or not, that's completely irrelevant. I still want you to make the list of fears and make the inventory of fears, whether they're true, whether they're realistic or not, and whether you can control them or not. Okay. So, maybe it is true that certain foods trigger symptoms for you. I still want you to put that down on the list. So that was really interesting for me, was to look at that. And I even had another example I have was because I had been to see lots of different practitioners for my chronic pain way back then. One of the practitioners had said to me she was working from a Chinese medicine perspective, which I really love, and I think it's a lovely perspective. But we really want to be careful with the information we learn and we pick up from different places and how we then internalize that information and what kind of relationship we have with it. So the piece of advice this particular practitioner gave me was, she said, from a Chinese medicine perspective, your ankles are linked to the uterus. So she was doing acupuncture on me, and then she said to me during our acupuncture session that she advised me to not have my ankles exposed when I was menstruating. Because she said it's good to keep that part of your body warm and not have any drafts or damp or cold around that part of your body, which I agree with. I don't want my uterus cold when I'm on my period, etc. And so she was encouraging me to keep my ankles warm too. The problem was that it was summertime and I love wearing sandals and shorts and three-quarter length trousers and skirts and having my feet out in the summer. But what happened then was when my period came round, or even a few days before my period, I noticed that I started to have fear-based thoughts and worry, just very kind of like in the background. They weren't running my day, but there was like a thought in the back of my head, "Oh, Lisa, you shouldn't have your ankles out because you're going to get pain." Okay, so this was just like a thought, like in the background. So that also made the list. I want you to think about those things, whether they're true or not, or whether they come from somewhere else, or where, it doesn't matter where they come from. I want you to really put all of them down, because when you make that list, I want for you to be shocked at the fears that can be running the show, okay? And feeling shocked about it is a healthy response to this stuff, okay? So that's something that I would encourage you to do, is to make that list. Then the other part of this work that I really help my clients with is practicing mindfulness with our fear. So practicing mindfulness with our fear, what does that look like? So mindfulness is about non-judgmental awareness of what is happening in our minds. Whether you're doing a meditation or whether you're going about your day, you can practice mindfulness all the time, whenever you want. It doesn't have to only be a meditation. So mindfulness with fear would be when you are going about your day, just if you can, bringing a little bit of curiosity, a little bit of gentle, compassionate curiosity to how much fear is coming into your mind and those types of thoughts. And then you can then be linking this to your menstrual cycle tracking as well. So a lot of clients who I work with who have PMDD or period pain, they notice that they got a lot of fear-based thoughts in the days leading up to their period or in the days leading up to their luteal phase. Okay. And of course they do. It's totally understandable. They have years of experience with chronic pain. They've learned how to track their menstrual cycle. And so naturally, they are now in a place where they have a bit more control, a bit more agency of their cycle because they're tracking. And then they are aware of their cycle coming in the next couple of days. Okay. So, and I'm speaking from experience too. So, when I used to have a lot more chronic pain, I would be thinking about it for a week before my period came. And I would be kind of planning my day and kind of worrying and fretting and thinking, okay, what can I control and manage? But it was all coming from a place of fear and trying to control. And again, naturally, because the point of that fear is protecting you and trying to help you survive and trying to give you an experience that is not painful. So that's what it's trying to do. It's trying to be in the driver's seat, okay? But the problem with this is that then what's happening is you and I were in fear and we're in a stress response before our pain is even there, okay? We're not even present with the fact that we don't have any pain right now. So that's a, an interesting place to be. But it's not necessarily good because then, like I said, we have all of that adrenaline and cortisol and the fight flight response starts to kick in. So the mindfulness with fear is it's not making that go away. I'm not saying to you, make your fear go away, don't be in fear. That's not at all what I'm saying is I'm just inviting you to bring some curiosity and some compassion so that you can relate to your fear differently. And that's the really important thing, so that you can relate to your fear differently, not get rid of it. It's there for a reason. If we try and get rid of it, then we're coming from a kind of a controlling place, or we're trying to like be aggressive, or we are shaming ourselves or blaming ourselves or shitting ourselves, etc. And we don't want to do that. That's going to create more stress. What we want to do is speak to our fear like we would speak to a small child who is afraid. Right. So I have a niece and two nephews, and there have been many times where they are afraid of something. And what do I do as an adult? I just reassure them. I speak to them in a kind, compassionate voice, and I reassure them. And maybe I say to them, I understand, I felt like that too when I was your age, or I validate their fear and I bring presence to their fear and connection, and I welcome their fear. And I bring some safety to their fear. Okay. And it's the same thing as that I do with my clients too. So I want for you to practice that. So that becomes a like self-coaching skill that you do for yourself. And it takes time for that to kind of feel natural. So when you are noticing your fear, instead of saying, oh, I shouldn't be in fear, or instead of losing yourself with the fear, you take a breath, breathe in, and you breathe out. And in your head, and in your heart, you say to yourself, I'm noticing I'm feeling fear right now, or I'm noticing my fear is really high today. Okay, let's be with that. Let's just hang out with that for a minute. And you're bringing presence. You're really bringing presence to your fear and just bringing some spaciousness. So your fear can be there, but it has a bit more breathing, a breathing room. Okay. So that's the first step. And then the second step is very easy. Then you're going to speak to your fear like you would speak to that small child. So you would say something like, I hear that you're scared and I understand this makes sense. And I'm going to mind you today. It's okay. I'm going to mind you. So I'm going to look after you. So maybe you do some journaling, or maybe you do take a bath, or just even go about your day and you open your heart to yourself and you open your heart to your fear. Just send yourself some gentleness and understanding and compassion. Okay. And that might feel foreign, but it's just a learned skill that you practice over time. Just give yourself a little bit of grace and a bit of love. And if it's hard to give to yourself, you can think about someone in your life who you can give that to, and then you can give that back to yourself. Okay. So that's the mindfulness with fear. It's just two steps. It's catching the fear, the awareness piece, and then the response. Yeah. And the reason I want you to do that is it's a nicer way to live. But also, from a biological point of view, what we're doing is we're just bringing down your nervous system a little bit so that the fear isn't running the show. We're giving space to the fear. We're validating the fear. And at the same time, we're just bringing your nervous system down so that you can create a little bit more rest and digest energy around all of this fight or flight stuff. And over time, month after month, you begin to rewire your nervous system. You begin to rewire your relationship with fear. Fear becomes integrated into your life. You understand it. You're no longer reacting to it. You are able to discern what's normal healthy fear and what's unrealistic fear. And you become really good at this and you become really skilled and confident in knowing what to do. Okay. And that's really important, especially if you are someone who struggles with your menstrual cycle in some way. So you're rewiring all of this. Okay. I also want to lastly speak a little bit to the conversation around menopause, because this topic was born out of a coaching session with one of my dear clients who very vulnerably shared with me that she was feeling really afraid of the menopause, even though she's not yet there. She's in her late 30s, and we had a beautiful conversation in one of our groups about it. And I'll just reflect on it very briefly from this perspective that I'm bringing to you today. So I also like to think about this stuff through what's called a systemic lens. So what that means is being curious about how our system is taking on messages from the outside world and how our system is responding to that, okay? Whether it's through new beliefs or experiences or impact on our nervous system or expectations, okay? So when it comes to the menopause, and if you are someone who isn't yet there, but you're thinking about it, like I'm in that place too, in my late 30s. And over the last 5 years, what I have seen is a lot more conversations in the public space about the menopause. And that's wonderful, because obviously menopause was never talked about when I was a kid, but now it's being talked about in the media. There's books being written about it. There's menopause talks in the workplace, etc., etc., etc. So there's a lot more attention. However, what I will say is, from my coaching perspective, what I'm also observing is a lot of the underlying message and the underlying energy and the underlying emotion in some of the messaging is rooted in a lot of fear. And that's because for so many years, women have been, this topic has been neglected, it's been misunderstood, and it's been kind of private. And therefore, there has been a lot of private suffering and trauma as a result of that. And so there's a lot of people who are coming forward with their stories, and obviously that's very important, and we need to create a space for that. But sometimes what can happen is the rhetoric becomes very biomedical only, and it's this only biomedical model that we're taking. And maybe some of the rhetoric is only about, we need to talk about this more, and this is important. And then some of the rhetoric is, a lot of it is about symptoms, and a lot of it is about lifestyle and things you should do and things you should look out for and terrible things that happen to your mother or your grandmother or your friend, etc. Okay, so there's a lot of loaded, let's just use the word, that some of the conversations can be quite loaded. And if you are someone who's maybe witnessed your mom or your aunt or a grandmother or someone in the workplace struggle with this stuff, it can scare us, you know, it can scare us, especially in a topic that isn't fully, completely 100% understood. And we don't really have like control over this stuff, right? So it can feel quite scary. So my client very vulnerably and very honestly shared her fear with me and said, I'm really afraid of this. I'm thinking about it all the time, and I'm worried that I'm going to really suffer with menopause when it comes my way. And I've had PMDD, and like now it's going to be menopause, and like, how am I going to deal with this? And we had a beautiful conversation, and the approach that I took, and I think it was helpful, was to not get pulled around by all of that fear. Because right now, at this point in her life, she is not in her perimenopause, but she's being pulled away in her thoughts and her fear is being triggered. And therefore, it's very difficult to be present with the fact that she doesn't have symptoms right now. And not to say that you shouldn't prepare and learn about this stuff, that's different. But we don't want to be fretting and worrying and in fear about this, and because it means that we're not being present with what actually is, okay? So that's what I would just say. I would just say it's like a little gentle reminder to not get pulled into the kind of systemic bait of fear and all the energy and the projection that can happen. And for you to be in your own discernment and your own critical thinking and your own judgments around what works for you, what doesn't work for you, what conversations do you want to listen to, what conversations do you not want to listen to, and to be curious about what impact some of these conversations have on you. and give yourself permission to think critically for yourself and think, yeah, this podcast is kind of triggering a lot of fear right now. I don't think I'm going to finish it. Or, oh, this is helpful, but maybe not at this point in my cycle. Maybe I'll listen to this another time. Yeah. So you are becoming more protective of your nervous system, having more boundaries with some of this like very heightened energy that can be quite hard to deal with on the outside world. Okay. So that's what I would say in relation to that goes, you can apply that to spaces where there are conversations around endometriosis or PMDD, because there can also be a lot of fear and anger. And again, very justified in those spaces. But I just want you to really mind yourself and your nervous system when you're on this healing journey and be selfish and protective of your beautiful nervous system so that you can grow your capacity for more rest and digest. So that your nervous system has a chance to heal, so that you can have more vitality and more health with your menstrual cycle and your journey with chronic pain. So I will leave it there. I would love to know what you think about this topic. It is not a one and done thing. It's an ongoing journey. It's an ongoing relationship. It's an ongoing mindfulness practice. And I'd love to hear what you discover on your fear inventory. So leave a comment below, or get in touch. And if you would like to work with me, learn with me, you can head on to the link down below in the show notes. We have the Menstrual Coach Academy for Professionals 2026 waiting list is open for the summer of 2026. And I will be opening the doors to the Menstrual Cycle Mastery Collective very soon. I will be in touch with those of you who are interested for some research interviews. But yeah, you can join the waiting list for either of those down below. And if you want, you can also join our mailing list. I will leave a link to that as well down below. So I will see you in the next episode. Take good care. Thanks for joining me on the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. If you'd like to begin this work with me, I run the Menstrual Mastery Collective, a monthly membership where you can dive deep into this work live alongside me and a supportive community. I'm also the founder of the Menstrual Coach Academy, a professional training space for trauma-informed coaching and facilitation. Head on over to the links in the bio to sign up for courses, programs, and grab any resources available. I'm so glad you're here.